Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. You know, in study for this message, sometimes God lays on your heart to study something that you really need help with. And I think that this one struck home. I studied it because I knew it was something important in the Christian life. But as I was studying it, the things I was studying just it kept speaking to me on a personal level. And so, sometimes God does it. And I saw a clip from a movie that I would never take any theological advice from. But this clip kind of spoke to what kind of I feel like God does with us sometimes. You know, sometimes we'll pray, God, give me patience. God doesn't always just say, here's patience. He says, here's some opportunities for you to have patience in. You should work on that. Or God says, are you afraid of God? God, I really need some courage to witness better this week. God's not going to fill you with courage all the time. He's just going to say, here's some opportunities for you to have courage. Work on it. I think our God works like that. He's not just going to give us everything that we need. He's gonna teach us how to have those things. So I just thought, and that movie is very, very, blasphemous and everything. So I won't say the name of the movie, but that one comment kind of spoke to me. And it just showed up randomly somewhere, you know. I hate when that happens. So Matthew chapter 18, we'll read verses 21 through 35 tonight. If you go ahead and stand with me for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And the Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So, simple title. It's just titled, Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very hard subject sometimes. But forgiveness is also crucial to the Christian life. As we go through this passage, I'd like to just highlight a few things. Now, in the first verse that we read, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? I kind of think Peter might have been trying to impress the Lord here. Because many times in the book of Amos, we see these nations sinning against the nation of Israel. And it says three times, and the Lord forgave them three times. But once the fourth time came, Lord said, I'm not forgiving you anymore. Now judgment's coming. So many times, and this is what the rabbi thought, you should only forgive a brother that sins against you three times, and that's it. Be done. So we see here that Peter more than doubled this. He said, Lord, should I forgive him seven times? But Jesus said in the next verse, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I don't think Jesus really meant you're only supposed to forgive somebody 490 times. Although I think that would plenty cover a lifetime of people sinning against you. But he said it to say, you should always forgive. You should always be willing to forgive somebody who sins against you. Another key to this verse is we are forgiven even if those who... We should forgive even those who don't ask of our forgiveness. You know, it's nice to have somebody who wronged you come up to you and say, hey, I know I wronged you. Please forgive me. But we should forgive them even if they don't come and ask that. Because as we're going to find out later in the message, it's only going to hurt us. The next verse says, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. So it says here, therefore in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is talking here unto saved people. When we see Jesus likening something to the kingdom of heaven, he's talking to saved people. So this parable of the Lord Jesus is telling saved people about forgiveness. Now forgiveness is important for everybody. But this verse specifically is talking about saved people. And it goes on to tell the parable, and I'll highlight a few things here. We see that the servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now a talent, I forget how many days work it was, but it was a lot. But to liken a talent, 10,000 talents to money in our day would be about $12 million. So this servant owed his king about $12 million. I don't think I could pay that back in my lifetime. Pretty much impossible to pay back, right? So, but we have a similar debt to our king. See, we sinned against God. We sinned against our king. And there's no way we can pay it back by our own merit. There's nothing we can do. It's impossible. You know, back in the Bible times, someone was able to sell their servants to recover some of the money back. So he was going to sell, this king was going to sell the servant, his children, his wife, all his possessions, just to recover some of that money back. And this was allowed under the law of Moses. So the king in this parable would have been just to tell the servant and his family to sell the servant and his family just to recover a little bit of what was owed. But we see that the servant falls on his face and he begs the king to have patience with him. Please have patience with me, king, as I try to repay this debt. I will do my best. Please don't sell me into servitude with somebody else. Likewise, our only hope is to fall on our faces before a holy, holy, holy God and beg of his mercy and grace and trust in his son. So the king, as we've spoken about, represents God. The servant represents us. The servant had an unpayable debt. God forgave the servant for the unpayable debt. The king had mercy on the servant. So as the king had mercy on that servant in the parable, God has mercy on us. Even before we're saved, God has mercy on us. He shows us mercy. He gives us chances. You know, if the first time we sin, he could just kill us and we'd be done. I mean, we're born with sin, but the first time we actually committed a willing sin, he could have just taken us out. Been done. You sinned. You willingly sinned against me. Now this servant who was forgiven an impossible to pay debt goes out after being forgiven his great debt and goes to his fellow servant who owed him just $17. That's about what 100 pence would be compared to today. Or today with inflation, it'd probably be a little bit more, but, you know, close enough. $12,017,000. Says, hey, I want my money now. Give me my $17. You owe me. That's in the Greek. He even went as far as to grab his fellow servant by the throat and choke him. Did the king treat this servant in such a way? He was just going to sell him. He wasn't violent. The fellow servant fell on his face and he begged for mercy, just as he did to the king. But instead he had him thrown in jail, instead of showing the mercy that his king showed him. And the other servant saw this and said, "Whoa, we should go tell the king, because I'm pretty sure the king just forgave him of a lot. Maybe the king should know about this." So the king calls the servant and says, "You wicked servant. I forgave you an unpayable debt. And you're going to go and be mean and throw your fellow servant in jail for such a small, just 100 pence? You're going to do this after I had mercy on you? You know what? I've changed my mind. You're going to be thrown in jail to the torturers. And you're going to pay me back any way that you can." So he threw him in jail. To the torturers, it said. And in the last verse we read tonight, it says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts have forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Jesus ends this parable with a lesson behind it. We are to forgive our fellow man, just like God forgave us. So we see that this servant, when he was thrown in jail to the tormentors, suffered. He went through suffering after he had unforgiveness. That might be what we go through if we have unforgiveness in our hearts. It says, "So shall my heavenly Father do also unto you." So we may have to go through suffering in our life if we don't forgive those who've done wrong against us. So forgiveness is one of those hard topics to talk about in life. But like I said in the beginning, it's vital. It's something we have to do. It's vital because it's a command from God. In Colossians 3, verses 12 through 13, the Bible says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." It's a commandment. We're to forgive like Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So it's a command. God is telling us, "Hey, you're known by my name now. You're going to forgive people. This is a command I'm telling you." We see it's also vital because it's Christ's example. Luke 23:34, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." As Jesus Christ was being beaten, as he was having nails hammered into his hands and feet, as he was having a crown of thorns nailed on his head, as he was forced after a vicious beating to carry a cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." He wanted his Father to forgive these men who beat him, who treated him in such a terrible way, who lied against him, who said lies, all the Pharisees who brought these false witnesses. He said, "Father, forgive them." It's also his example because it's his blood that paid for our redemption. That paid for us to have the ability to be forgiven of our sins. It's Christ's example. What an example of forgiveness from the Lord. We should follow his example. My friends, forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness means that you choose to not let those suffer for the wrong that they've done. You can choose not to be angry. You can choose not to punish them by treating them in an unfair way. It's our choice. But forgiveness is also a process. I had it as a step plan, but as I've studied it, I've realized it's a circle plan. Step one, to know what forgiveness is, we have to be forgiven of God. Step two, we have to forgive ourselves. Because after we know the forgiveness of God, we need to forgive what God forgave. And then step three, we have to forgive our fellow man. And then, as we're going to find out, God says, if we don't forgive our fellow man, then we don't deserve forgiveness. So guess what? It goes right back to step one. It's a circle. We get God's forgiveness, we forgive ourselves, we forgive others, and we get more of God's forgiveness. And it's a circle. Because when in this earthly life are people ever not going to be wrong to us or trespass against us or sin against us? I think that's quite almost an impossibility. So we have to keep working on it. It's a process we have to go through day by day. So step one, receiving God's forgiveness. We're going to look at the need for God's forgiveness. We're great sinners. We're born with sin. We have no choice but to have sin on us when we're even coming out of the womb. We need to experience true Bible forgiveness that God has provided us through Jesus Christ. After we've realized our sin and admitted to God that we cannot be perfect, the next step is we believe that Jesus Christ came down to this earth, lived a sinless life. He then died on an old rugged cross for the sins that you and I have committed. He was buried. He rose again the third day, defeating death. We have to trust that Jesus Christ was enough to pay our sin debt and give us forgiveness of our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, I like to call this the gospel in a nutshell. Pretty 12 verses on the gospel. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly, that they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." So after we trust in the gospel, we must confess and repent of our sins. Now, repentance is something that's kind of lost in translation nowadays. But repentance is vital. A lot of people just think, "Oh, I made a boo-boo. God, forgive me for that boo-boo." Then you go and do that boo-boo again. And then you go and do that boo-boo again. And then you do it again. And then you do it again. When is it going to become a boo-boo and not willful sin? That's where repentance comes in. Repentance means that we forsake that sin. We don't want to do that anymore because it's sinning against our Lord. Proverbs 28:13, the Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We can't hide our sin from God. He sees it all. He knows when we did it. He knows why we're hiding it. He knows how we're hiding it. He knows it all. And the verse said, they're not going to prosper because they have willful sin in their life. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confession is only one piece of what is needed for God's forgiveness. We also need to repent of our sin. We need to become like Job. Job escheweth evil. He pushed it away. Anything that evil came up to him, he pushed it away. It's kind of a picture of repentance. Not really, but that's what we should do. If a sin that has been bothering us over and over again, and we see it coming, we should confess it to God and push it away. Get it out of your life. I know some of them are hard, but we got to get them out of our life. If you can confess it, you can repent of it. If it's something that bothers you so much that you have to confess it to God, you can get rid of it. You can repent of it. It's going to take time. It's going to take God's help, but you can repent of it. If you can confess it, then you can be forgiven of it. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you turn to God and confess your sins and repent them, He will forgive you of all unrighteousness. All. That's a big word. Three letters. That's a big word. Because that means all. Unrighteousness. So, if somebody comes up to me and says, Brother Frankie, I'm saved, but I just killed somebody yesterday. If I confess that to God, will He forgive me? Yes. He will. All unrighteousness. Now, am I going to be worried about that person who said that they just got saved and then killed somebody yesterday? A little bit. I mean, I'm going to be worried they're going to go to jail. I'm going to be worried where their heart was. But if they're saved and they truly believe they're saved and they ask God for forgiveness, then God's going to forgive them. They're going to be in heaven someday. I don't have a tracker on who's saved and who's not. That's something that every person has to deal with themselves. 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, there's no sin too great for God to forgive. None. None. Another big word. God forgives all sin. Titus 2:14, the Bible says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. All iniquity. All. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So I misspoke earlier. There is a sin that God cannot forgive. It's one that's not confessed. We have to confess them. It's important. We have to make them known. Do you know that it is the goodness and love of God that draws or leads us to repentance? Romans 2:4, the Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God leads us to repentance. You know, there comes a time in, I think, everyone's life, where you kind of get that poking. Hey, what you're doing is wrong. Hey, stop that. It might only come once. It might come many times. But God pokes everybody and says, what you're doing is wrong and you need to fix it. So after all this, you know, believing the gospel, confessing, repenting, we get God's forgiveness. Now, what do we receive when we get God's forgiveness? We get some perks. We like perks, right? First and foremost, when we receive God's forgiveness, our relationship with God is restored. And we were able to have fellowship with God again. We're able to walk with Him. We're able to pray and talk with Him. You know, some people will say, I feel like my prayers are falling on deaf ears. I feel like God isn't hearing my prayers. I don't feel like I used to when I prayed to God. Do you have unconfessed sin in your life? Do you have willful sin in your life? You have to restore your relationship with God. And then you're going to get back to that prayer life that you used to have. Sin breaks our fellowship with God. And only when that sin is confessed and repented can we truly have the fellowship that God wants with us. God wants us to be clean. The only way we can be clean is if we trust in Jesus Christ and ask for God to forgive our sins. Then He takes our old dirty rags and He gives us a new robe of white. We're clean and He can talk with us again. The next thing we receive from the forgiveness of God is joy and peace of having the guilt and shame of sin forgiven and forgotten by God. The Bible tells us that God not only forgives our sins, but He forgets them. Isaiah 43:25, the Bible says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Hebrews 8:12, the Bible says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Micah 7:18-19, the Bible says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He will retaineth not his anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? It's infinite. That's where God's cast our sin, our forgiven sin. He casts it into the depths of the sea. He forgets it. It reminds me of a preacher. I can't remember his name anymore, but I heard him on YouTube. He talked about he would go to the altar and he said, God, I sure am sorry I stole those M&Ms. I sure won't steal. I won't steal like that again, God. Please forgive me for stealing those M&Ms. This was during a conference. So the next day, he said he came up and he said, he went to the altar. The next day, he said, you know, God, I sure am sorry I stole those M&Ms the other day. And he said, for God forgiving our sins, God's like in heaven, like, what is he talking about? What? When did you steal M&Ms between yesterday and today? I didn't see it. God forgets it. Once God forgives us, it's forgotten. It's over. He won't hold it against us anymore. So we can see from this that if God forgets our sins, then who is it that brings up our past sins to us? That old devil. That old flesh, too. They like to bring up the past and say, ha, see that you did back then? God can't love you. Look what you did. God can't love you. God can't use you to serve in a ministry for Him. Look what you did. No, God forgets it. The devil likes to bring it back up to us to make us feel bad about ourselves and make us feel like we can't serve God and to discourage us. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that old flesh. You're a new creature. Listen to God. So the last thing I'd like to mention of God's forgiveness is we receive the ability to truly forgive ourselves and others. Now, I'm not saying the ability to forgive is only for those who are saved. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, if you really don't know what forgiveness from God is, that can completely blot out a sin from you, then do you truly know forgiveness? What I'm saying is, if we know God's forgiveness, we have joy. We have peace. Because we know that we're not guilty. God's not going to hold it against us if we ask for forgiveness. So after God forgives us, we need to look at forgiving ourselves. I'm fairly certain everyone in this room and watching online tonight has a past. I know I do. Sometimes that past lives rent-free in our minds. Like I said a little bit ago, that old devil and that old flesh sure like to bring those things up from time to time and try to make us feel unworthy. Unforgiveness of ourselves can block our surrender to God because we don't feel like God can use us. But look at all the people God did use. He used David, a murderer, an adulterer, liar, went against God, disobeyed God. He used Moses, another murderer. God used imperfect people. That's just what God does. He uses imperfect people. Don't let your flesh and the devil bring up past sins that are gonna hold you back from surrendering to Christ. Give him all. That's what he wants. You know, a little girl took her heart and said, "You know what, God? It's not much, but it's yours." God says, "That's all I ever wanted. All I ever wanted was you to serve me, you to give your heart to me." That's all he wants. He wants our heart. Don't block it with unforgiveness of yourself. If God is willing to forgive us of our past transgressions and forget them, cast them into the depths of the sea, cast them as far as the east is from the west, then shouldn't we be able to forgive ourselves and become the new creature that God has made us into? 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God doesn't want us in bondage anymore. He wants us to have the joy and peace of freedom from the guilt and shame of sin. Galatians 5:1, the Bible says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Romans 8:15, the Bible says, "For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And Matthew 11:28-30, the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's Jesus talking to us. That's Christ saying, "Come to me. Get saved. I'll give you my yoke. My yoke's easy. It's light." Don't be bound down with unforgiveness of yourself. So what do we receive when we forgive ourselves? When we forgive ourselves of what God has already forgiven us of, we get the freedom to serve God and to follow God without guilt and without shame. We can truly serve God because there's no stumbling block in the way of, "I'm not good enough. God can't love me." If we forgive ourselves like God forgives us, we can serve Him with all of our heart. When we forgive ourselves of what God has already forgiven us, we get the ability to forgive others close to the same way that God forgives us. More on that later. When we forgive ourselves of what God has already forgiven us, we get to walk a little bit closer with God, because that sin's not in the way anymore. Next in our circle is forgiving others. Now the need for forgiving others is the last step in our path to forgiveness. But it's one of the hardest to do. Because we're not God. We can't forgive and forget the way God does. He does it perfectly. I do it imperfectly. But I still believe that we can all probably do a little bit better in this area. And here's a few reasons why. Unforgiveness breeds bitterness in our hearts. You know, there are some people out there that are still holding on to a hurt that happened many, many years ago. And that hurt creates bitterness. And that bitterness hinders a person from being all that they can be. Guess what? That person that hurt you so long ago, they don't have bitterness. It's not hurting them. It's hurting you. Unforgiveness creates bitterness in our hearts. And that bitterness is just going to eat at us and eat at us and eat at us until we become overwhelmed by it. The only person that unforgiveness is hurting is you and not your neighbor. Your neighbor could care less. They probably already forgot what they did. So I'm pleading with anyone who listens to this message, get that bitterness out of your heart. It's hurting you, and it's hurting your relationship with God. Forgiveness is also a command from God. In our scripture text tonight, the very last verse we read is the command from God to forgive others. Matthew 18:35, the Bible says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." This verse is talking about the servant who, after being forgiven by the king, went and did wrongly to his fellow man. So what happened to this wicked servant who had unforgiveness? He was delivered to the tormentors. Now Jesus says many times that our forgiveness lies in our forgiveness of others. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, the Bible says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses." And Luke 6:37, the Bible says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." There's the circle. We get forgiven of God. We forgive ourselves. We give our fellow man. We get back to forgiving, getting forgiven by God. It's the circle. When we forgive our fellow man, we get freedom from festering bitterness in our hearts. When we forgive our fellow man, we get the joy of knowing that we are obeying God. When we forgive our fellow man, we have peace of having less strife in our lives. As we can plainly see, we cannot truly forgive the way that God does. God is able to forgive and forget trespasses and sins. We as mere humans are only able to forgive our fellow man, but we can't always forget it. Sometimes it comes back up. Sometimes something we see or something we hear reminds us of it, and it comes back. But God also doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to forget all those trespasses done against us. We should strive to forgive our best, to not hold grudges, to not let bitterness fester in our hearts, to not be angry about unforgiveness or people that have wronged you. In our Christian walk of becoming as much like Christ as we possibly can, forgiveness is a hard area, but it's a vital one too. Forgiveness is an area that we have to work on daily, and often many times throughout the day. But God has forgiven us so much. He's forgiven us so much. So should we not forgive our fellow man for the minor things that they do against us? If God has forgiven us so much, 10,000 talents worth and more, infinitely worth, Can we forgive the $17 that our friend owes us? Can we forgive that little thing that happened as kids and let it go? It's only hurting you people. It hurt me until I got rid of it.